Log Talk Radio.
Class is in. It's time for Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Sit back, relax, learn, and listen. Pick up the phone and get involved in the conversation. 858-357-9137. Listen and learn who you are. Learn the true history of how society was physically built. Learn the history of who you really are. Learn the history of your people. It's Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence through history.
All right, Pastor. Good evening. God bless. Welcome. Go ahead. Show is live.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening to each and everyone. And God bless you on this wonderful Tuesday evening that the Lord has made. I just like to say good evening to you and God bless you. We have a very intriguing show tonight. Tonight we're going to first start off talking about voting. And the reason we're going to talk about voting is because after the election of President Biden and Vice President Harris, the GOP is in an uproar about trying to take away parts of the Voting Rights Act. We have to understand that the Voting Rights Act comes from the 15th Amendment. And it gave the civil rights to everyone in America, and also, and that was in 1865, and it gave the voting rights to even blacks. And at that time, Mississippi had so many people that was going to Washington and other places. But later on, when the Northern troops left, the Klans, others came out, and they took away their rights, and they... Back then, even in the 1890, to suppress the vote, what they came up with was a literacy test. Now you have to understand that they were freed. Our people were freed from slavery in 1865. Now they're gonna give a literacy test in 1890. Now, it's an incumbent upon me to tell you that they did not allow us to learn to read. Why would you give a literacy test where that person who had to pass an exam and know the constitution of their state in which they live? How can you do that if you don't know how to read? If you can read, it's very minimal. And so that was something to suppress votes. And only a very few people were able to pass it because only a very few people had the ability to read and to communicate. And that started way back in the 1800s. They've been suppressing the black vote for over 150 years. At least 150 years trying to find ways to suppress our vote. And even to this day, when they did pass the literacy test, they also passed what you call a voting tax, a poll tax, where you had to pay. And to make it whereas a black person couldn't vote, they charged what would equate to your monthly salary, which equates to how much they were going to charge. Now, I want you to understand that this is what was perpetrated because blacks were working at sharecroppers and others and were not able to pay that amount. And they knew that they would not be able to pay that amount. Plus, they had to give them the test. And that was one of the reasons why they had the poll test. That's the reason they had all these things that were putting blockades in the front of our people to keep us from voting. And then even more, they were hanging and lynching and burning people home just to keep them from voting. And so this suppressed the vote for so long, it had to go all the way back to revitalize the Voting Rights Act. It had to be revitalized when they passed the Civil Rights Bill in 64. And again, when you're looking at the Voting Rights Act, you go back to your 15th Amendment, which gave civil rights to supposed to be all American citizens. And we have to understand, too, for part of our history, blacks were not known as citizens of America because we didn't come here as citizens. We came as cattle, black cattle. We came not as human beings. Now, they're trying to do certain things to suppress votes all over again, coming for this midterm election, which some of us have. I know we have one right here in Louisiana. Cedric Richmond, who was our congressman, he was appointed to oppose by the President Biden. So now we are voting for a new congressperson. And there are others that we're voting for. And also we know that we're going against something in Georgia. Now, why when Stacey Abrams ran against Governor Kemp, who's governor now, he barely beat her. He barely beat her. He didn't beat her by much. And they suppressed over 58,000 votes. Don't you know 70% of those were black votes? And why would you suppress that amount of votes, knowing that blacks only make up 32% of the voters in Georgia? So many white voters voted against Donald Trump. When you get a chance to study how that goes, only 32% of the votes, but different areas that are a majority black voters. Now, we want to see what they're doing over in the red states, like what we call red states, those who bagged Donald Trump, the GOP. You know, like Georgia, Texas, Mississippi, and a whole bunch of other. Even they're trying to just do it in states that were closed, like Pennsylvania and other ones. They're trying to suppress them because the election was closed, and they're trying to figure out ways to keep black folks from voting. And they're trying to put restrictions to keep blacks, mainly blacks, from voting. That's the early voting. And then they're talking about the early voting that because they say blacks voted early and so many blacks, so they're trying to stop the early voting and the early voting and the count. Everybody, after you have to have a photo ID. Some people, as they say, a legitimate photo ID. And some people don't have any ID but a little ID to go cash a check or whatever, and they talk about like a state-issued ID. No more voting, mobile voting in areas where it's hard for people to get out and vote. They had mobile voting where they would take voting booths around where people to make it easy for everyone to vote. Now, the Voting Rights Act supposedly, and this is like, I'm listening at what I'm telling you, it supposedly was written that that everyone will have an opportunity to vote. Why would you try to do away with the mobile voting? They're even talking about the absentee ballot, you know. There are so many, we have soldiers all over the world, Japan, Korea, Germany. We have them in the Middle East. We have them all over. We have them in Saudi Arabia. We have them in Kuwait. We have them all over. We have them in so many different places, strategic positioning places. But right now, and they have to do absentee voting by mail. When they tried to suppress the voting that they're sending out, and they had ballots where people were not able to make it to the polls, they could go to the absentee and vote absentee ballot, but they could go and mail it to a drop-off mailbox and mail their vote, their ballots in. Well, they're trying to do away with the mail-in ballots, the drop-off box. You know, they had some places in Texas, you had to ride hours to get to a place to go vote. And they were hoping that during that time that mainly African-American men not being poor wouldn't have the transportation or others to come. Who would be so low in 1890, you know, right after that president that was, I think, the Johnson, he pulled the troops out of the South a little while after the slavery came to an end. And notice I'm going to say this to you. The slaves were free. The slaves were free. And listen at me again. The slaves were free. But the slaves were set free. But they were never made free. See, there's a difference in a play in the word. To set free means to let go. To make free means to give you away. You don't have to be dependent on others. See, they set our ancestors, because I'm African-American, they set our ancestors free, but they couldn't read. They didn't have money. They didn't have anywhere to go. So they had to stay and remain right where they were as slaves. As even it wasn't called indentured servant, but they were sharecroppers. And you never made enough money to get anything. Well, we have to understand what kind of position that is. But if I'm made free and I'm set free, if I'm made free, you will give me the things that I need to be free. You will give me, you would have paid me reparation. You would have gave me my 40 acres and a mule so I could grow my own crops. I have my own land. I could build my own house. You allow me to learn to read and build school. You wouldn't have me working in the field where I couldn't go to school. You wouldn't have my little bitty kids working, you know, juveniles and adolescents working in fields instead of being in school like white kids and others. Now, all this deals with voting rights. Being that we couldn't read, you couldn't the test. Being that you were working as a sharecropper, and you had to pay whoever was the plantation owner, they gave you a place to stay, and you went to the main store and you credit food. So you always would come out even, or you came out owing them for some more money. So because you couldn't count, you weren't able to do your own math, you were not able to read. So therefore, you would always be owing them something. Now it would behoove me to tell you that was no more than a setup, and we need to understand just what that means. If I'm going to keep you down, I don't want you to understand what's going on. This is the main thing that I'm trying to relate to you guys, is that this voting suppression that's going on, been going on for a long time. It went on during slavery time. It went on after slavery time. It's been going on for many, many years. And it's still going on today. But I want us to understand this. I'm a child that I was able to experience some of the things that happened in the 60s, the racist things that happened in the 60s. And I saw these things. Now, I want us to understand that I know about voting suppression. I know what they did, and I know what we're going to have to do it. please, sir, please, ma'am, listen at me. I remember we would rent, we had different politicians and church groups that would rent vans. We would mobilize, we would get in cars, they would get in cars because I was young, but they would get cars and they would drive the elderly people to the poll. Looked like we're going to have to go all the way back to doing things like that to make sure everyone get out and vote. If we have to take them to the poll, go to their homes and do it, we're going to have to do something because you have an enemy. And let me explain this to you. The fabric of America, the interwoven, the very foundation of America is built on racism and racism. That's something that they don't like to talk about. I don't know if they fear that if you find out the true history, which they never teach you the true history, I don't think they don't want you to ever get your true freedom and be equal because you might take something out on them, what they did to you. There are different whites that say that they're afraid of blacks. Why are you afraid of me when you're the one that's been raping and killing us for hundreds, over 400 and some odd years? You've been raping and killing us, putting us in prison for things we didn't do. But you say you fear us. We fear, we should be afraid of you. You're the person. You are that man that came over here in the 1400s from the Queen of England to settle this country, which was for Native Americans. Millions, or close to 100 million was living in America. They sent people over here on ships. We know about the Mayflower and the others in the 1600s. But they sent them over in ships. When they got here, they found the Native Americans who treated them nice. And they were to try to colonize it, but they came to colonize it for the queen. Now, this is something that's not told. They took their poor off the street, the homeless, the beggars, the vagabonds, and sent them to America. Some would say the lowlifes of England, and sent them to America. So sometime when Caucasians want to trace their roots back to England, you're going to trace it back to some poor person that was living on the street or just getting out of jail. What they don't like to talk about, and they don't like a person, they like to tell blacks, you need to go back to Africa where you need to go back to back to Europe where you came from, living on the streets. Now, they don't tell what actually occurred. In the history books, they speak of some good people coming and colonizing some savage Indians, and it was just in reverse. Some savage people came and found some kind-hearted people, helped them to plant. They try to show Thanksgiving Day. The Indians are not the Indian, but the Native American, because I don't want to call them Indian because they're Native American. They're not from India. They prepared meals with them, showed them what they could eat, and taught them how to hunt. Right here. The same people they helped out turned around and killed them, gave them smallpox blankets, killed them off and took the land. That's the true history of America. And then went to get the build the country, went and got Africans from Africa and enslaved them and brought them here, raped them, beat them, well, lynched them, sodomized them, worked them from sun up to sun down to build this country. To build this country was built upon the blood, sweat, and tears, and then did not want you to ever learn to read because you will find out you had a history long before we ever came to America, that we had one of the most strongest and most intellectual astute history in the world from the continent of Africa. They so what they teach in history in America is no more that they teach children, even white children. They teach them a lie. They teach black children a lie, where they elevate white kids by saying that their parents invented everything, they founded everything in America, and in reality, they didn't invent anything. They really didn't invent much, which they did invent something, because then I will be doing what they did. They didn't invent that much. They didn't build a country. And they were racist. They were bigots. They were murderers. They were assassins. They were terrorists that came to this country and took people land. That's the history of America, and enslaved the race of people to build this land. It's time that we start teaching our children the true history and letting our children know that it's purposely put where they're left out of everything. We have such a rich history, and that's why when I'm on history talk, oftentimes I go all the way millions of years to tell those who came from, families came from the African continent, how far that they go back into the original man. And it's called anthropology. If we go back, we'll take ourselves all the way back to the beginning, millions of years ago. And that's what was so important, that we need to know about ourselves. We need to know what we did. If whites won't write it in the history books and won't teach it, just how smart our people are, we need to start doing it and teaching them at home and stop allowing our children to worry about partying all the time. I want to know, where would we be without an air-conditioned unit? What, you know, Frederick M. Jones, where would we be without an air-conditioned unit? Burn up in a house. How about the almanac, what we plant by, we tell the tide, to all the farmers and things planted by Benjamin Banneker, who also did the blueprint for Washington, D.C., and laid it out. The cutoff switch for the train, that was Granville T. Woods. Automatic pistol was G. Cook. Automatic gear shift, you know, we have gears, we have the shift. Richard Spice, that was in 32. Baby buggy, W.H. Richardson. Bicycle frame, L.R. Johnson, 1899. Blood plasma bag, Charles Drew, approximately 1945. The cell phone, that everybody has right now, a cell phone. Henry T. Sampson, July 6, 1971. Now, everyone, can you imagine what people would be doing with just a landline in their home? And then they wouldn't have had that if it wasn't for a black man. The Chamber Commode, T. Elkin, 1887. Toilet sitting on train. Clothes dryer that we dry our clothes with, 1862. G.T. Sampson. These things are not taught to you because when white kids find out that they did not really invent much of anything, they would have low self-esteem. The reason why we're not taught, we think we know more than gangsters and somebody to dig ditches and do all the wash dishes and clean someone's house. The clothes dryer, G.T. Sampson. The curtain rod, S.R. Stratton. The doorstop, Dodson. Dustpan, Lawrence P. Ray. The egg beater, Willie Johnson, February 5th, 1885. The electric bulb. Now listen what it says. The electric lamp bulb, Lattimore. I know that they have in history books that someone else did it. Edison did it. But when Edison did the light, it came on, but it didn't last but a couple minutes, and it went out. It was Lattimore. Listen to what I'm telling you. It was Lattimore who made it stay on by doing that filament that he made to keep it on and go month and month. Now, the elevator, you couldn't have a 50 or 100-story building and walk upstairs, Casey. You'll be tired before you get 10 stories up. The elevator was made by Alexander Miles in 1867. Those glasses that you wear when you work in France or you cut your grass to safety, eye protection. It was in 1880 by Pete Johnson, a black man. The fire escape that's on most buildings in other large cities that's on the outside. The fire escape by a black man in 1878, J.W. Winter. The falling bed, we used to call it a rollaway bed when you had a large family. L.C. Bailey. Folding chairs. You have so many of them in churches and everywhere else. There's Brody and Sherwood. Fountain pen. W.B. Purvis. Furniture castle. You know, not scratch your floor up. Clay Fisher. The gas mask. Now, this is what you need for war and the work and induction in these plants and refineries. And that was by Jared Morgan in 1914, the golf team, Tiger Woods. But the real name, the person who made the golf team, was T. Grant. And it was made in 1899. The guitar was made by Robert L. Fleming Jr. in March the 3rd, 1886. The hairbrush, Linda O. Newman. The hand stamp, Walter B. Purvis. The horseshoe, what they put with riding horses with the horseshoe, was made by J. Rich, March 3rd, 1885. Ice cream scoop, A.L. 1897. Improved sugar makers, Norbert Larino, 1846, doing slavery. The insect destroying gun. We used to call them way back when I grew up. You didn't have the spray cane. We had what you call a flip gun. And it was made, it was invented by A.C. Richard in 1899. Now, ironing board, what you use the ironing board is Thurl Boone, 1887. The keychain, F.J. Loudon, 1894. The ladder, you know, like a lamp, Michael C. Harvey, 1884. The lawnmower, which we just call a pushmill, L.A. Burr, 1889. Lemon squeezer, J. Thomas White, 1893. The lock, you know, we have locks. It was built, it was in the early 1800s where they were, the locks were made. They were made by a black man, W.A. Martin. The lube cup, you couldn't have a train, you couldn't have an airplane, you couldn't have a car without a lube cup. The Elijah Mackay car in 1895. Lunch pair, James Robinson. Mailbox, Downing, 1891. The mop, Thomas W. Stewart, 1893. The motor, now this is not just the motor, Frederick M. Jones. That's the motor what I'm talking about. They're talking about motors. I'm not just saying the car motor, but I'm talking about motors that run different electronical stuff. Then 1939. Peanut butter, George Washington Carver, the pencil sharpener, J.L. Love, 1897. The record player arm that make the music, Joseph Hunger Dixon, 1819. The refrigerator, A.J. Stanford, in 1891. The riding saddle, I'm not talking about like just cowboy, but the riding saddle that the people race horses with and equestrian jump over these things were did by W.D. Davis in 1895. The rolling pin, John W. Reed. Yahoo head harness, you know, these ladies, you know what that is. Garcia Bella, 1898. The spark plug. No car could run without a spark plug. Edmund Berger, February 2nd, 1839. The stethoscope. You know, everybody listen at your, they listen at your heart. It goes so far about 5,000 years ago to Imhotep, the first designer of the pyramid. He did the stethoscope. Black Egypt. The stove was invented by somebody black. They would cook over the fireplace. But T.A. Carrington in 1876, they invented the stove, the straightening comb, Madam C.J. Walker. And most young girls don't know nothing, but you have your curling iron where you roll your hair with your roller. But they used to have that straightening comb where you heat it over the stove. I remember that. Most of us know about a street sweeper that cleans our street today. Skid a little water and the bushes spin. Charles B. Brooks, 1890. The telephone transmitter, Granville T. Wood. Now, that's what makes the phone you be able to talk to somebody. They were able to receive something, but they wasn't able to transmit it, to send the sound. And it was did by Granville T. Wood in 1884. The thermostat control, Frederick M. Jones, 1960. The traffic light, Garriott Morgan, 1923. The tricycle was invented by a black man, M.A. Cherry, 1886. The typewriter, Berig and Marshman, that was in 1885. So I could go on and many more with a list, but I just want to let you know it's time that we feel very, very happy about all the accomplishments that we've done. Oh, we hear about Alexander Graham. Quit lying. You didn't do all these things. And what's bad about it, they give us and tell us that they're going to allow us to teach black history in school. But they tell us what we're going to teach. And they only teach us certain things here in America. We had a history long before America. We are the pioneers of education. We're the pioneers of mathematics. We're the pioneers of chemistry and medicine. But that's not told everything. Listen at me, if you will. He who write the narrative, means write the story, and that's why we're in America, and we only make up about 12 to 13% of the population. Really, it's more closely 11% of the population is African American. About 48 million out of 330 million people. There are more Hispanics in America than there are black, but we only make up a small portion of it. They only teach what they want to teach. They teach nothing but lies. And they're not going to teach you anything about yourself. Our children learn nothing but lies about somebody else. And every book, every character, even in the Bible, which was written and played out in North Africa when they were connected, they make them white. And there were no whites over in that area at the time. Everybody is made white. The Egyptians are white when you see them on the television. The children of Israel. Now, the children of Israel were not white. They're not the white people that you see bad today. They were not white. They were not white. And there's so many scriptures to prove it. And there's so many people over in the Middle East that tell you that those are nowhere no Israelites or Hebrew people. Everything in history, you would think that the only person ever existed were white people. Can I tell you a secret? The secret is that there are 7.5 billion people in the world. Only 11% of the world is Caucasian. In other words, there are less Caucasian people in the world than there are people of color. There are over a billion, over 1.2 billion Africans on the coast of Africa, not counting, you have maybe 48 here, 48 billion, million, excuse me, million in America. You got about 48 million in Brazil and around in those islands and things that they have. You have about another about 48 million. I'm talking about there are as many people in South America and that's out in the Caribbean and the Caribbean that will make up close to 48 million blacks. About 48 million live in America. You do the math. There's about 1.5 million African Americans that live in Mexico. You have another million live in Canada. You have 11 million live in you have 11 million live in Europe, and you have about 700 and some thousand live down around Venezuela. So when you add all that up, blacks outnumber whites by not quite a billion, over half a billion people. More, almost double the population of the United States around the world. That ain't counting the Vietnamese, the Chinese, and all these. These are people of color. They do have a certain part of melanin in their skin. Not talking about the Arabs and the people from Egypt. They got a lot of blacks in Egypt. Not Egypt, I'm sorry. Egypt is Africa. But there's a lot of blacks in India. There are so many. They got tribes that you'll say they're African. Been there all their life, been there for thousands of years. When you looking at things, remember this. He who writes the narrative, or he who writes these books that we read, make everyone be the color they want them to be. They give who they want to be, the people to be smart. They've always made blacks, when the year to go movies, if you play the black, you're going to be a pimp, a drug dealer. You were going to be something that was wrong. If you find the good guy, he's going to be dressed in white. The bad guy is going to have on black. If you get kicked out of a club, you got blackballed. When somebody dies, bad luck comes because black come on a dark day. Everything that symbolize everything dark as being bad. But they didn't tell you that they had colleges in Timbuktu before they were in Europe. That's Africa. That the Egyptians that built the pyramids were Africans. They were Africans. They were not white people that you see on TV. And then the people that's over right now, that's in Egypt, are what you call nomadic Arabs. They are Arab people. And even if you go in Saudi Arabia and other places, you will be surprised at how many Africans are people that are very wealthy over there. It's something that you're missing out on, is the fact that they're not teaching us. But the part is, this is what I want to tell you. The good news is they don't have to teach you. Pick up a book. Believe it or not, believe this, they open up the world to you. They're teaching us everything that we want to know, but they fear that we're not going to pick up the book. And they figure that we don't have the power. Like the school system, the school system dictates what course is going to be taught and how the book's going to be written. The books are never going to be written to tell the truth, because of the shameful nature of how this country was founded. You come here, all the millions and millions of Indians, you barely have over, Yeah, I don't know if you have a million purebred in Indian. And I think it's about 700 and something thousand that may be purebred. If not, they've just been interbred like most African Americans in America have a certain percentage of bloodline is Caucasian. As myself, and I'm a dark complexion. I call myself, I'm not the blue-black type African-American, but I'm dark-skinned. I am a brown. I'm darker than caramel. And I have about from 9-11% Caucasian European in me. And I know where it came from during slavery. My parents and grandparents, they said things pertaining to who was in their family was for the man that owned the plantation. So we know of these things. We know different things, but I want us to understand this, that regardless of what go down, we need to start studying. And then when I said this, and I always do this for us, it's time that we learn that white folk didn't invent everything. White people didn't start anything. They're not superior to you in no shape or form. They didn't start the alphabet. The Phoenicians started the alphabet. And the Phoenicians were part of a Hamite race, and that means they were blood. They did the alphabet. That's why you have hooked on phonics. Man, they did a measurement of weights and everything else, too. And they tied it to the Greeks, and the Greeks started to the Germans and all those. But what I want us to understand is when they try to find out where did man come from, they never look in Europe. They don't look in Europe. They don't look in Russia. They don't look anywhere else. South America, they don't look in India or China to find out where the origin of mankind comes from. They go to where they know that mankind originated from. Can I make you happy, Black America? Can I make you happy? Can I make you smile enough? They came from you. You are that man. You are that original man where they came from. Now, I want you to further. If you're a note, you need to take a note. And this is why I say it's time that we start reading. I did some things that are coming up today, and I know we're glad that we're about to get our stimulus and that we have a president that's going to try to reverse the racial injustices that we're facing because the GOP under the demagogue that we had for a president, Donald, who would set everything back about dealing with the racial divide, and it's just going back to the 60s almost, the racial divide. You know, anytime you have 74.4 million white, not some blacks. Now, don't get me wrong, we had some, I call them ignorant hypocritic blacks that voted for Donald Trump. But he did come up with over 74 million votes. And they know that he told, well, it was way over 30,000 lies. They know he told them to defect it. They know he didn't do anything that he was doing. They know that he don't have the money he had. They know all these things. They know that he came down with COVID. He was so dumb, he said, drink Clorox. Lysol. This man is a dummy. This man filed bankruptcy so many times. Every business, so many of the business he started went belly up. He's not a shrewd businessman. He's just a liar and a con man. You know, the Bible says that a man reap what he sowed. His day is coming. He's going to reap what he sowed, and it may be coming up pretty soon. Because he had to meet court on a lot of charges that he did. Now going back to what I was saying is we need to trace the origin of the human race and find out what color was the original human. Now, the original human would come from Africa, And we call it Australopithecus. I want you to understand. Anthropology, what you're going to have to look it up on the anthropology, is the study and the origin of mankind. Where did man come from? What is the beginning of man? Who were the original men? How did they look? And they go back in the earliest fossil that the skeleton was in Ethiopia in 1974. They found a skeleton of a female. And this shows about our understanding of a process of evolution, but also because she is a household name even today. She was found, they found this black lady fossil, a Liberty Shaw black lady, Dawn Johansson and Tom Gray. They were paleontologists who were looking for rocks and other, remains of different animals. And it came up on Lucy. And the skeletal remains go back over 3.18 million years ago. Did you hear what I just said? They had people living in on the southern parts of Ethiopia over 3.18 million years ago. Now, also, in Africa, you're going to find out, and then you could do the study on them. His name, Dawn Johansson and Tom Gray, and their discovery and founding of Lucy's skeletal remains. Lucy is the Australopithecus. Now, also, Lewis and Mary Douglas Leakey. Lewis Leakey and his wife's name was Mary Douglas Leakey. They were British paleontologists and anthropologists. They were paleoanthropologists who discovered the first fossil, what they call proconsul skull. Proconsul wasn't just a human, just any ordinary human or ordinary ape. They say this is what they believe that the human ancestors came from. And also, She discovered a robust Zinzanthropus. That's the skulls that she found in the Ogoodee Gorge, which is in Tanzania. And it really deals with East Africa. Professor Leakey and several archaeological and anthropological fossils of ape and other human that they excavated in the Ogoodee Gorge. And what was so ironic about it, they thought that man learned to make tools hundred thousand years ago. But this go back almost a million years. Man was making tools, weapons, arrowheads, and pottery. And you can find that under Lewis Leakey. But now Lewis Leakey, he was born in Kenya, but he's a white Briton. Now, we have to understand that, but now, so we just learned about Lucy. Now, let's go even further. Now, this is the part that I want you to get. Please, sir, I will need you to get this. If we, any black, white person, I don't care what planet or what, at least not planet, but what continent you live on, you could trace your DNA to the maternally inherited mitochondria within our cells. All humans have the theoretical common ancestor. We all have one person that we're all kin to, and it's a maternal, it's a female. This woman is known as Mitochondria Eve. Living between 100 to 200,000 years ago in South Africa. Now, they say she wasn't a first human, but this is something. They don't know if they died off or what happened, but they say every other female lineage eventually had no female offspring and failing to pass the mitochondrial DNA. As a result, all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to her. This black lady in South Africa, mitochondria Eve, like Adam and Eve in the Bible, they gave her name Eve, Eve, because everyone, I don't care where you come from, China, Korea, I don't care if you come in South America, Canada, Russia, Germany, India, wherever you come from, you carry her DNA. Now listen at this. Within her DNA and that of her peers exists all the genetic variation we see in contemporary humans since Eve time. Since over 200,000 years ago, everybody on this planet carried her DNA. The different populations of humans have drifted apart genetically from the distinct ethnic groups that we see today. And they even go further with this to show you how powerful this is about you. And this is why I tell you this, and I often tell you this over and over. We need to study, and we need that. We got a history that dates back much earlier than slavery. We are the original people, and like I said, I don't know. I had to talk about the voting and some other things, suppression earlier, and so I don't know how far today I could get on this. But now they found a skeletal remains of a guy who they date back between 315 BC, in other words, 315 years before Christ, in South Africa. Now, this man is the closest relative to mitochondria Eve that they ever found. He was almost a genetic match to her. This is another African man. He's the closest genetic match to Eve. Now, they found the skeletal remains in a place called St. Helens Bay in South Africa. It was found by the architect archaeologist Andrew Smith at the University of Cape Town. Now, it is important that we know that Sub-Saharan Africa is the cradle of humanity to have had its DNA sequence. And they'll find out that when you do their sequence of their DNA, that you'll find that that mostly all of us can trace back to them. Now, I want us to go, and I'm going to say some things right quick, and because I want to move on, but I want to say some things because we get puzzled about why there are white people and why there are black people, and why is this way? Why is this that way? I don't understand about having white people and black people and why white and why we black. And it's not really that hard for us to deal with that. Okay, it's not really that hard to deal with that. Now, biblically now, if you even look it up biblically, the Bible says about the Garden of Eden, everyone traced it up right now, that's where the cradle of humanity was with the Bible. But that's not so. If you will read your Bible in Genesis, around that second chapter, and it talks about the Garden of Eden, they said that in the Garden of Eden was where there were one river right turned to four heads, the Gihon and the Pishon. Now, why would the Gihon and the Pishon River be called the Nile River? It's in Africa, and it encompassed the land of Havilah, which is the son of Cush, which is Ethiopia, and it also encompassed the land of Somaliland, which is Somalia, which is in Africa. Now, you have what you call the Blue Nile, and you got what you call the White Nile River, and you got the Bantu River, too, that's right there. Now, I want to say this. Before we know about the flood, we know that the flood, that was a great deluge in the Bible, And we know that during the flood, the water rose, and so that made up a whole lot of bodies of water we had, and the land melted, some say through the ice age. But I want us to understand this. They also say that the Euphrates, and I know those who are a little studious and intellectually and read the Bible are going to say, well, Pastor Kemp, I can understand about the Gaia and the Pisces and that the Bible, the Greeks and the Romans, and everyone say that that is the Nile River, but I don't understand that they're not connected because you got to have the Red Sea and the Gulf of Suez and that kind of separated. But that came later after the flood. But now I want you to pay close attention. Now, they say the Euphrates River now was part of it. Now, the Euphrates River is like more or less north and south. There's another river they call the Hidika River, which ran eastward. But now the Hidika River, they say it's the Tigris, but the Tigris, unless it changed its flow, runs along parallel with the Euphrates River. So you have to understand, too, that up until 1900, that the Holy Land and Egypt was connected together. And it goes on the same tectonic plate rift, and it runs straight down through that. And it was called North Africa for a long time. If you go in your Bible, it talks about giraffe, it talks about hippopotamus, it talks about lion, it talks about leopard, because the land mass was together. And you have to read your Bible. And this is another thing that we need to think about. If you would look in Zondervan Bible Dictionary and just simply look up the definition of Ham, it'll tell you that Ham was the progenitor of the dark race. Now, they don't want to, they make Egypt be white, right? But now the Bible says that Ham was the progenitor of the dark race, which is Ethiopia, which is Egypt, which is Libya, and which is Canaan, where Canaan is the Holy Land, Jerusalem. But the person that was there was black. And they say Egypt was Canaan. Now, listen at this. They call Egypt the land of Kim. That means the land of the black. They call Ethiopia Kushite, means birthplace. But it's not hard to look these things up. Now, if you look at Zondervan Bible Dictionary, it'll give you the definition of Ham as being progenitor of the dark race, Ethiopia, Egypt, they do Libya, and then they say Canaan. And then they say, after they tell you that they're the progenitor, that they say, but not of the Negroes. We were called Negroes when they brought us to the Americas. In other words, there's another race of people that were called Hebrews, and they call them Negroes. That's why today there are people that say that they are the black Hebrew Israelites. See, the covenant wasn't made with Judah. We're talking about Jews. The covenant was made with the Hebrew people, which is Israel, the Israelites, the black Hebrew Israelites that fled into Egypt. In Africa, and so many that the slaves today carry their bloodline and don't know it. In Deuteronomy 28:68, it says that God was going to send his people by like a curse and allow them to go into bondage by ships again. Some have stated that Egypt can be called place of bondage, but that they will be sold into bondage again. But they go by ship. No one in the Bible ever went into slavery by ship. The only people that ever went into bondage by ship and were sold as slaves on the auction block are African Americans. And many whites know this. Many whites know this. Now, this is something. Look it up. Zondervan Bible Dictionary define Ham. And they're going to tell you that a progenitor, but he's going to say, not of the Negro. Look it up. Now, I wanted you to understand, too, as I see my time is growing pretty close to coming to an end, but I have about 10 more minutes to go, so before I do my question Q&A. Now, it's important that I want us to talk about Great War members, because this is something very important that you say. Now, I want you to understand that when the people left Africa, okay, when people left out of Africa, they started leaving out of Africa about 70,000 years ago. After modern humans established themselves in Africa, small populations branched out and established footholds in Asia and some spread it west and east and into Europe. Some say they went into Europe about 40,000 years ago. Now, when they went into Europe, I want you to understand that they went through a mutation. Their skin went through a mutation, okay? When you say the skin went through a mutation is the change of a structure or a gene resulting in a variant form that may be transmitted to subsequent generations, caused by the alteration of a single base to DNA or a deletion. Their deletion came in melanin, skin color. And what happened, they went to a whole different climate, a whole different thing. Their diet changed, and they went into a different climate, and they lost the melanin. And they say during this also, it talks about it, that a rearrangement of a large section of genes. Now, a mutation is ultimately the only way in which new variants in a species. That's the only way you could get another race, but have people looking different, is through a mutation. Right now, we have COVID-19, but there are variants. There are mutations which are called variants. And in these variations or variants, they are just a little bit different. The same way with African-Americans. There are so many African-Americans in East Africa that light brown skin, dark brown skin, the darkest of the dark. Some people have pointed nose in Africa. Some have pug or round noses in Africa, broad noses or stoop noses, as they call it in the Middle East. And they said that the Sumerians, over 5,000 years ago, the Sumerians who inherited where Abraham came from were chocolate-colored with stoop noses. Now, if somebody tell you somebody is chocolate-colored with a stoop nose, means thick nose, means wide nose, that means that they are of African origin. That's Abraham. Moses passed for African, Egyptian. Joseph passed for one. They were black. Think about it. Moses grew up as a black king. He grew up as a black king's grandson because he looked like them. Joseph married a sinner. She was black in Egypt. And his brother, when they came after he sell him into slavery, they took him for to be Egyptian. Because they all were black. Jesus went to Egypt when they went to hide him out. You name it, everyone, even the Apostle Paul, if you read, I think that's 21, Acts 21 and 28, they say they thought Paul was the Egyptian or Ethiopian who started, went out somewhere and started and took, what, a kill of 3,000 people or whatever. The Apostle Paul could even pass for it. So now we know that a mutation is a variant and that they lost their skin color when they left. Now, if you want to find out how that goes, look up Gregoire Mendel. And Gregoire Mendel is considered the father of genetics. And then his inheritance involved in passing the discrete units of inheritance, our gene from one parent or offspring to another. See, Mendel found out by using even with peas and different types of flowers that he could make them be certain colors. And he could start off with a black or dark color flower and get the variants he needed. Now listen at this. Now this is Mendel's studies in botany and in genetics. Mendel came up with brown and black are dominant colors. Now, dominant, if you look up the word dominant, it means superior. Light skin is a recessive gene. See, A and A is a recessive gene, but B and B is a dominant gene. See, blue eyes come from a recessive gene. Brown eyes come from a dominant gene. You don't see many blue-eyed people in the world today. 90% of all the people, 89 or 90% of all the people in the world today have brown eyes. And what he's saying is that you could now where do white people come from? Well, I hate to bust people's bubble, but to me, a Caucasian is no more than what we call an albino. An albino is a black person that lacks melanin. Their eyes are different than everything else, but the skin color is that of a Caucasian. If you have a white catfish, it's albino. If you have a white tiger, it's albino. A white alligator, it's albino. White rhinoceros, albino. A white lion, albino lion. But when you get to white people, they don't call them albino. We Caucasian. No, you lack melanin. You are albino. You are a person and a descendant from black folk. And how did that happen? Mendel's law tell us. Mendel, at about 70,000 years ago when they left, the Mendel had three laws. He talked about the law of independent assortment. You could take two people of Caucasian and you move them to an island, and guess what? The law of dominance, which the second one pops up, meaning that the people that mainly they're breeding together, that they're going to look alike. And the law of segregation, when you only deal with a certain populace of people, that they look like those people. But to reverse this, now watch this. You could get the recessive from the dominant, but you cannot get the dominant from the recessive. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying, Dr. Kemp is saying is you could take two people from the Sudan, the darkest skinned people in the world. Not all people from the Sudan are the darkest, but so many of them, they got certain areas that they're the darkest people in the world. You'll find out that two of them could come together and have an albino child that looks white. But you can't have two recessive, two white people cannot make a black child. See, you could get the dominant, you could get the recessive from the dominant, but you cannot get the dominant from the recessive. In other words, you could take a black person and maybe since you being thoroughbred, since you the original people, all other colored people, all other come from you. And that's the same way I bred Doberman, and I had a black and a red Doberman. But what I got when they would breed, I would have a fawn colored Doberman, I'd have the black, I'd have the red, I'd even have a blue Doberman, because that black one and that brownish red one were producing. And by the way, when you look at the Native American, the so-called Indians today, they were not that color. You looking at whites did the same thing to them what they did to us, interbreeding. Native American Indians never looked like they were white like they look today. They're the color of when you pull a penny out of your pocket, and you could ask why they say the saying. Indians are like a copper penny, a copper as an Indian, because there was the brownest that like a penny that you have today. And so I have so much more I could touch on right now, but I had to come in with the day because of the voter petition, and I want to make us aware that we're going to have to fight. And when voting time comes, if we have to rent vans, if the churches have vans, if you have cars, go pick someone up and take them to the voting post. Don't let them suppress our vote. They know that they lost the election because black voters turned out. So why the GOP is so hard on trying to suppress the black voter? Voter ID, early voting, trying to take some of that out and recounting, don't count early voting. Do it away with the mobile voting. Trying to deal with the absentee voting. And because when they counted the absentee voting, it piled up for African Americans. The mail-in ballots too. And then the drop-off, by the way, if mayor, you're not going to be able to come out. Even in time of a pandemic, they wanted people to come out to the polls because they knew a lot of people were not going to come out to the polls. And they preyed on them, but people, absentee vote, mail-in ballots, and other things, they voted early. And put the election out. They're praying that we cannot do it again. Amen. God bless you. I'm open for any questions.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Powerful show. Very powerful show. I want to say good evening. God bless everyone. Thank you for listening tonight. I'd like to open up the lines now for anyone that have any questions and comments, statements for Dr. Kemp. I want to say welcome to the show. The line is open for you now. Go ahead. Okay. No one has any questions. The line's open. I see them, but they're not asking anything. That
some
was a powerful show.
Some may have their phone muted. If you have your phone muted, take the mute off. And if you have a question, you can ask.
Man. All right. Well, we thank you for calling in and being a part of the show, listening, and I pray that something was said that touched your spirit. Pastor, I got a couple of questions, though. If you don't mind, I wanted to make sure everyone else went before me. I wanted to go last. Pastor, you started off the show talking about the voter suppression, and when we talked earlier, I asked you about that. So, Pastor, why is it that we are not talking about all of the things that the GOP leaders are doing and how they're fighting against the black votes, the black people still? Why aren't we saying anything and being so adamant about educating and teaching our people, like going back when Dr. King, he was a pastor, but he also got in these streets and educated the people on different things that were going on, not just from the Bible, but what was going on in the White House, in the Senate, in the Congress. Why is that not so pushed hard today, Pastor?
Well, it's been articulated from politicians have articulated a separation of church and state. Also, we've got on a money kick. We just want to get the money. And we want to address the thing. Now, every problem that you have, whether it's social, economic, or whatever, you can address it by biblical principles. And that's what Dr. King had used when he dealt with segregation. I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. Then he said about seeing little black girls and little black boys and little black girls holding hands with white boys and white girls, you know. And what he was saying was, and the Bible says that one law, one faith, one baptism. That's only one kind of man, and that's mankind. That God didn't make different races. Man made races. And by the way, the white people didn't call themselves white people until 1681, and that was in America. They were always known as Europeans. If you were from Africa, you was an Afrikaner, or you was from Europe. You know, wherever you was from, you know, that whatever continent, that's where you was known, what you were noted as. So those things, but it's sad that we don't address the problem that our community and others are faced with. The old preachers did it. A lot of the old preachers did it. Some were afraid to do it. And some really don't keep up enough with politics or don't think that it's worth keeping up. All they want to do is keep up with how much money comes into the church. And the welfare of the people in the church is governed by where you live. See, our life is made hard by our government. If we have taskmasters, Jesus spoke out about the Greeks. He spoke out about the Romans. He spoke out about the Pharisees, the lawmakers, the Sadducees, the scribes. He spoke out against them. But for some reason today, we won't speak out against them. We'll come in the four walls and we'll have our religious service, our worship service, and then we dismiss and go our ways. And things stay the same. The cycle keeps going on and on because you don't have a voice for God's people. God has put you as a leader and a voice for his people, but it's not reflective in our different African-American churches today. We had some powerful people back in the 60s. I think that we were blindsided when they allowed us to go to school when integration came in, and they allowed you to go to school with them, but they never started treating you fair, even though you went to school. And then the schools never were integrated. White people just sent their kids to private schools. There are more private schools around at any time in the history of America as right now. And all that came about in the 60s to keep their kids from having to integrate with black kids. I know here in Louisiana and other places, they have so many private schools until it hurts. But, you know, there's so much going on, like I say, with the voter suppression and things. But now, what we need to do is go back and read the 15th Amendment and, you know, about our civil rights and the giving it to voting, you know, and things like that. And you'll find out the study about what's happening in Georgia right now and the push about these red states that are buying flip. They're trying to suppress enough votes that if it come again, that the GOP will win because some of the races were pretty close, pretty tight. So that's what they're doing. But it's incumbent upon me to say this, and I admonish everyone to be proactive. And we need to start, as a people, we need to be proactive. We know what you're doing, and we have to be proactive. We don't wait until you do pour your little dirt or do what you want to do underhanded. We want to be ready for you when you do it. And it's up on our leaders to make sure and prepare us to be proactive. That's in church. Yes, you pray, but God gave you five senses, how to carry yourself. Because we children of the Lord. We're all of God's children. So God wants all his children to be treated fairly. God does not separate. They say the rich and the poor meet together and the Lord is the maker of us all. God is no respecter of a person. He does not care what color you are. God doesn't care about that.
Amen.
God looks for a man's heart. God is not worried about what clothes or money suits you wear. God is not concerned about any of that fooling. What God is concerned about is our heart being pure and loving. That's what God is looking for. But we need to stand up, like you say. The church really need to stand up because we have this large pulpit, this large congregation that we can speak to and just sort of keep everything straight, you know, and get our message out. But the church did in the past. I remember very well, we'd pick up people and take them to the people to the voting booth. They had different politicians who would go about and send out rent van, might rent 5-6 vans. You go load the vans up with people, and they go out to them, and you pick them up and take them to the poll. We may have to do that because they're trying to keep us from voting, man, and we have to do everything. Like, we need to start working on that now. We have to be proactive.
That's right.
We need to get that together now, and I'm glad you said that because that's very important that we start. It's time that the church take that in the hand because God, we are children of God, and we should want to be treated as children of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It was a powerful show tonight, Pastor. I'm glad that you brought those pointers out about the voter suppression and what's going on right now, and just paying attention. We have those elections, with municipal elections, local elections are coming up this year. A lot of cities across the country, and a lot of people are just, you know, I don't know, Pastor, just sitting back, just really not paying attention, figuring a lot of things are not going to work. But a lot of people are getting, you know, opening their eyes and paying attention. So we thank God for that. So thank you, Pastor, for coming on tonight and touching on those bases, sir.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate everyone who tuned in tonight. I want you to always remember, the only dumb question is one not asked. If you don't ask the question, you will never know. So the only dumb question is one not asked. So if you don't know, always ask the question. That's how you build your knowledge. That's how I build. I ask questions. I do a lot of research and reading. Again, my the degrees I have is in theology, but I study anthropology. I study botany, genetics, anthropology, I say paleontology, zoanthropy, Australopithecus, the way mankind came from Africa, and they look like us. Amen. So yeah. I'm thankful to God for that, and I'm thankful to Reverend William for giving me this opportunity to share some knowledge that I have obtained from doing my research and my studying. And the reason I do it is because I want to build a self-esteem up in so many people, African-American, because it's been taken away. There's nothing, no books written about you and tell you that you're a great person. You'll think the only person that ever did anything was a Caucasian. And that's far from the truth. Caucasian got the credit for discovering the North Pole, in which he didn't make it. He came there several days later because he took sick. It was the black guy, I don't forget his name now, but he was the first person to make it to the North Pole. The path to take us west through Oregon Path, the Oregon Trail, it was a black guy. He was the scout. And so all this stuff was did by African Americans. And then the Native American Ben knew about every path. They take everything from them and put it and give it to a Caucasian from the African American and from the Native Americans, and they give it to Caucasians. That's not true. And they're not any smarter than any black person. They are not. They've suppressed our learning and make our schools second rate so that they could stay ahead of us and project like they are smarter. But if you give the average black kid the same books, the same instructions, and a fair shake, and give them their home, make their home where that they could have the same amount of money and buy the same supply and could get tutors and everything else, and you'll find out the black kids could compete with any white kid. But them being impoverished and living in impoverished neighborhood and impoverished home, they don't have the finances to be able to do a lot of things that whites are able to do. And there's so many more of us that's impoverished than white. Amen.
Amen. You know, Pastor, something else I wanted to bring up to you. I'm going to open up the lines again before we sign off. But I wanted to, a lot of things has been going on around the country here lately, everything that's changing, the new laws, everything that's going on, the way things seem like they're speeding up, you know, the way the enemy is pushing things harder. I tell everybody, I ask folks, have they read the 2030 agenda? That was signed by all, what was it, 150 something? How many, 153 countries or something? Most of the countries, yeah. All of the countries basically signed this UN 2030 treaty agenda. And a lot of people, Pastor, don't even know what's taking place right now, that they are running behind schedule to get to their destination and their time frame of this 2030 agenda.
a wrench was thrown in it, was thrown in some of it by 46. 46 broke treaties with a lot of countries, and he put a lot of little things into it that did not need to be within that 2030 agenda.
Okay.
And then a lot, see, dealing with white America, Caucasian, they're pretty much upset, and they're doing everything possible to keep as many people of color out of America as possible. They're no longer going to be the majority anymore, because already it's about 28% of America is either black or Latino, not counting the other Asians and others. And by 2050, it should have been changed and went over to that. So we could pretty much see them. That's why you have MAGA, Make America Great Again.
Mm-hmm.
You have blacks taking supervisor positions, getting good positions. You got Latinos and other nationalities. You got people from China and Japan and other people that's getting decent jobs in America. And what's sad about it, the Caucasian race are angry because they're used to getting all the goodies. And now other people getting some of the goodies. So they are jealous, and they're going to make America great again back when we control everything.
Right.
And you were the garbage man. You were the ditch digger. You swung the mops and cleaned our house. That's when America was great.
Hmm.
Not when you become an engineer, a doctor, lawyer, you know, and you work for IBM and all these other computer firms and things. Okay, not when you have become president of the United States. But it's really, really been hectic since President Obama was president. Racism grows. They're really fighting hard to keep blacks being so poor people. And you have maybe the most intelligent and smartest president America ever had. But he was African-American, and whites doesn't like that. It's a shame to say it. They did not like it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I think that we as a people, we need to come together. And like you say, start being proactive and start addressing these things that's happening in our community.
That's right.
Because they're happening to the pastor's church members, his children and grandchildren. Why not address the problem? You know, cut the snake head off before you get bit.
Amen.
That's what I'm looking at. You cut the, if you have an opportunity to cut the snake head off.
That's
before
right.
He bites you, cut his head off. Chop it up, throw it away, get it forth around your pocket. Because even a snake with his head cut off, if he bites, he could part it. Because the glands up in his jaw.
That's right. That's good, Pastor. That's good. Thank you very much for that, Pastor. I'm going to open up the lines again before we get out of here. If there's anybody that's standing by that's listening, would like to ask a question, make a statement, have anything for Dr. Kemp, the line is open for you. God bless you. Good evening. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Kemp, you're on. Unmute your phone. All right, Pastor. I did that because a couple other callers had came on, and I just wanted to make sure if anybody had any questions or anything for you, that they go ahead and so. All right, Pastor. That's gonna do it. We thank y'all for turning us on tonight. Those that are standing by, thank you.
Yeah, well, again, thanks for tuning in tonight. God bless you. I pray it was something said, something done that gave you more knowledge of yourself, self-pride, to help build our self-esteem up. And that we need to teach this to our children and let them know that they're like Martin Luther King said, I am somebody. I'm not what you say I am. I am who I say I am. I'm what God made. God didn't make junk. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to be proud. We're going to pray, but we're going to stand up for ourselves because God didn't make us second-rate citizens. God does not make anyone a second-rate citizen, and we should not stand for it because I am a child of the King. Amen?
Amen.
Eternal Father, we come giving you thanks, Lord. We come, Lord, thanking you for all your manifold blessings that you've given to us, past, present, and future. We say thank you. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for food on our table, clothes on our back, shelters over our head. Thank you for our children, our grandchildren, our mother, fathers, and sisters and brothers. Bless them. Keep them from all hurt, harm, and danger. Bless those, Lord, who are in the hospital right now on ventilators and others that are suffering with COVID and other diseases. Bless them, Lord. We know that there's more medicine in the hem of your garment than any drugstore or pharmacist, Lord. We know you can speak and everything could change. You spoke this world into existence. So we know that you could speak to COVID and it would have to cease. You spoke to the winds and the seas just by saying, hush, peace, be still. And that was a great calm. So, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would look upon this world. And, Lord, we know that you didn't make but one kind, and that was mankind. You didn't make anyone any better than others because your word say you are no respecter of a person. You say the rich and the poor meet together and the Lord make us all. So you're no respecter of a person. You don't care what color we are, where we live, or what we drive. You love us for what's in our hearts, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this show as we go with this ministry. This ministry is a ministry that teach about God. This ministry teach about the history of African Americans, about Africa, about the world, about where the world started from, the origin of mankind, black and white, which is not being taught to our children because they will find out the origin of man come from Africa. Whites have made Africa look so bad. They never show the big bustling cities in Africa. They only show you some naked people, have naked people running around. They never show you about all the gold, the diamond, the plutonium, all the things that Africa do possess. See, Africa don't need the world. The world needs Africa to exist, rich in all the natural resources that they could get that's in the world, all right there. So now, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as we continue to come, we'll be helpful in giving some insight and have us to think more of ourselves, but most of all, praise God for everything you've done. Again, bless Reverend William for his ministry that he conduct every night, but on Saturdays nights we have prayer service on Saturday. But Lord, bless him and bless his ministry. Give him what he stands in need of. Protect him and his family. Oh, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord. Bless each and every ear that's listening, Lord. Give them what they stand in need of. Move mightily over our heart. Our household, you know the sickness, you know the financial problem, you know every problem that we're having. Lord, so we ask that you help us and strengthen us. We ask all these blessings in the mighty name of Jesus and for his sake, amen. God bless you. I love white, black, rich, or poor. I love everybody, and there's nothing you could ever do about it. Amen, and God bless.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you very much for a powerful show. Everybody, thank you for turning us on. Don't forget to check out our new show with our Youth Talk, every Friday at 5 p.m. Check out our young people and hear what they have to say. We'll be back tomorrow evening, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's Breaking Chains right here on YAT Radio. Lock us in, y'all. We love you. Peace out. Have a good night.
people, I love you. We're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the trouble by ourselves. Oh, 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 oh. My people, I love you.
I love you.
We're dying.
We're dying.
They are lying. Hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be.
I'm just trying to be.
Played it like I'm be.
Great like I'm be.
Grow with one another, living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me.
But you hurting me.
Why not work for peace?
Why not work for peace?
Lying from Zion, I am a king. And you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost. People, I love you.
I love you. Oh, oh.
Why are we hurting?
Why are we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
to love through all? Oh. Can you feel the grace,
can
family?
You feel the grace,
to breathe
family?
Another day.
Breathe another day.
Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble.
People, I love you.
My people, I love. I love you, my people. I love
my
you,
my people.
I feel your pain, people. I feel your pain, people.
We're family.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, you and me.
Thank you for taking a listen this evening. You've been listening to History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp right here on Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Heard every Tuesday right here at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. YAT Radio logs on to leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence, teaching you about who you are and whose you are. It's History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp every Tuesday on YAT Radio, where we are breaking chains.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.